Okay, so this evening I've decided that I'm going to do a topical message. So I plan on doing a topical message, and so I'm going to pray in just a few minutes, or not a few minutes, but here shortly, and we'll begin with the message. It is very it's very possible that, Lord willing, next week on Tuesday, we'll start back in the Kings. I'm wanting to look at a little bit more before I come together with it. We would be starting in the Second Kings, possibly, or at least some, dealing with some information with Jehoshaphat and so forth. But tonight, it is going to be a topical message. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll begin with the lesson. Gracious Father in heaven, we come before you humbly. We're thankful for another day. You didn't have to allow us to see this day. We probably went to sleep whenever it was last night, early this morning in the AM, early AM, thinking that we were going to wake up. There are times when I know I've presumed upon your goodness and your mercy. I don't want to do that, but it happens sometimes. If we're all honest, I believe that there's been times in our lives when we fall guilty of that. I'm asking that you help us not to forget about your majesty, even though we can't fathom it all. In your word, you give us pictures of your majesty. You want us to understand how the family in heaven and earth honor you. How the creation, animals obey you, the sea, the weather, storms obey you. And then it comes down to we, the people with supposed intellect. Help us to understand what you desire, because we need you. We need you now, we need you in eternity. We begin to think sometimes that this is it. Our actions will say that we think this is it and that we have time. Please forgive us for that and help us to live each day, Lord, according to your will. Various situations that we're going through, physical pain, sometimes emotional pain. Sometimes even financial strain. You, if it's your will, please help us to come through all of that, keeping our eyes on true life, keeping our eyes on the Messiah who will return for the faithful, who will destroy the wicked. I ask that you help me tonight to talk about some of the things that your word shows us to help us to be real with you and not like the little baby who wants you to take something from it and it doesn't see it. It's fine because we might not see you physically with our eyes. It's not just fine if we live any kind of way. Help us to see you, to adore you. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. As I've already said, this evening, I will not be talking about the kings, Jehoshaphat or Ahaziah, the king who was coming after Ahab, his son. It's the Lord's will, and I'm able to satisfy what I think I should be. We'll pick back up with that on next Tuesday. However, tonight I'm wanting to talk a little bit about thankfulness. At least that's a part of it. That's a part of it. So if I say I want to talk about it, doesn't mean that's going to be the end all. My title for tonight is Neither Were Thankful. Neither Were Thankful. I've taken that. Some of you would recognize that just by the way it sounds. I've extracted it, if you will, from a verse in Romans. So I don't want to tell you where that is right now because it's a part of where I'm hoping to turn to. I want to begin with a passage of scripture that is found in Luke. It's not my intention to be very long tonight. Originally, I was going to teach on the kings, but as I continue, I said, no, I'm not going to do that yet. I want to do some more reading. So I said, Lord, I said, help me with something from your word. So not too long before calling in, this is where I've settled to talk about it. So we're going to turn to Luke, the 17th chapter. We're going to look at verses 11 through 19. That's about eight verses. Luke, the 17th chapter. We're going to look at 11 through 19. And then there are a few other scriptures that we're going to turn to. So let me tell you what books that I'm intending to turn to, okay? So we have Luke. We'll turn to Romans, the first chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. And maybe a few more, okay? So Luke 17, Romans chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2. And then I have a few more scriptures written down, but I'll determine as we're going if I want to go with the rest of those. Luke 17 chapter 11 verse. Jesus is speaking, and we're going to see something with some individuals who he had healed. So Dre, I want you, if you have that, I want you to read those verses. If not, then I'll start reading it there.
That he passed through a midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole.
That's good. I think I said the verse 20, but we want to stop at verse 19. We have a passage of scripture here that I would say is familiar, at least for most of us in seeking truth. If it's not, then we've heard it this evening. And it came to pass, something that was preceding this in the passage of scripture. You can read it if you want to. It's where I choose to start. And it came to pass, as he, that is Jesus Christ, went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. These upper portions, if you were to look at the area of Palestine. Okay. And so Jesus is walking through, and it says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Now, if you are familiar with the scriptures and the Old Testament, so-called, you'll know that if a person had leprosy, that individual in the Jewish community, or let's say the Hebrew community, was to separate himself, quarantine himself for a certain number of days. This is a picture of God's wisdom for the people. That when a person was sick or with an infirmity of this kind, it was a skin disorder, some things going on, different kinds of leprosy, skin turning white, different types of boils or oozing of the skin and pus and certain things coming out of the body. Right? It was a representation of sin and our corruption. So what are you talking about? Listen to me. Talk about when God made man, he was made to. Time will go on, you see that the individuals, their lifespan grew shorter. This leprosy represents death, or represented death. Anyway, the lepers were to separate themselves from the common folk or the rest of the people for a time frame. They're supposed to see the priest who would work with them or administer certain things, and then there, after a certain time it passed, they were healed, they could come back out. See that in the scriptures. We have 10 individuals here Listen, I'm at the 12th verse again. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So at least they weren't trying to come all up upon the Christ, but they knew something about him. This was no ordinary man. This is the one that they heard who could feed the people miraculously. Okay, this Jesus Christ, his fame, his holiness, what he was doing went throughout the land. Listen at this 13th verse. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, teacher, have mercy on us. There's a great need. There was a great need that these individuals had. They knew that they were in dire straits. They couldn't function as they normally would. And it was the Master who could help them. So they called upon him. They called upon him to restore their feeble, sin-sick bodies. I almost want to say to normalcy. Normalcy in the sense that they would be without this infirmity, without this disease. But normalcy would not be good enough if we just leave it at that. Okay? There's a spiritual, there's a deeper understanding that we're to have. This leprosy represents sin in the scriptures. We want to be restored back to the Father, back to righteousness. So they lift up their voice and they plead. So they beg. They recognize that there's nothing that they can do. So they call upon Christ to help them. Have mercy on us. 14th verse. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus speaks the word unto them. He gives them something to do. And he's in following the commandment that would be given by Moses. It's like, you're supposed to go see the priest so they could do some of what I referred to. I wasn't exact, but you can go and find it in the Old Testament. Probably look in Leviticus, maybe in Exodus and so forth. Jesus says, go to the priest. He tells them something to do. Now, there's many applications that I think we can look at tonight, but my title is Neither We're Thankful. I'm coming to it. Okay? So they do what Jesus says and they go. There are things in the scripture that often we want to deny, reject, or refuse. Just deny, reject, or refuse. When there's the wonderful instruction, doctrine, that is given to us from God the Father. I think it's in Timothy. I don't remember if it's the second chapter in the 15th verse or the third chapter in the 15th verse. I think it's for Timothy. It says all, so I get this right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of the holy and righteous word. Versions will say is God breathed. It originates with God who made heaven and earth. When we look for wisdom, why do we look elsewhere? Why is it that we look elsewhere when God, who made heaven and earth, knows all things? Lord have mercy. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God blessed him. He said, you didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for me to destroy your enemies, but you asked me for wisdom for judgment. And God, who gives judgment, teachings, doctrines, The old scripture, the Old Testament would say his law, his commandments, his statutes, his principles, his precepts. We deny, we reject, we ignore. Well, these 10 men left. It says, you hear? Word of God. We shouldn't look anywhere else. We should turn to it. Listen. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. It's like, Gary, don't go off so much into different areas while you're trying to explain a text. I know. At Jesus' word and their obedience. Ooh, 1 + 1 = 2. At Jesus' word and their obedience. What he says comes to pass. They're cleansed. This leprosy that each one of them had, this hindrance, this infirmity, this thing that caused a separation between them and the rest of their family, the Hebrew people, they would be family. Now it says one of them was Samaritan. Well, here I go. There's a centurion who came to Jesus. And this centurion was like over several people. He was in the Roman army. And he wanted Jesus to heal his son because he was sick. And he comes to Jesus. And he says, my son is sick. Basically, can you heal him? And Jesus says, I'll come with you. He said, you don't have to come. He says, I got people up under me at your word. He says, I know when I tell somebody to do something and they do it. If you, being who you are, the master, Messiah, son of God, if you say it, I'm trusting that it's going to come to pass. Well, this is what the scripture is for. We hold on to it. As they did what Jesus said when they were on their way to the priest, says they were cleansed. Listen at this 15th verse. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, he gave honor, he glorified, he praised God. Out of the 10, one turned back. Out of the 10 who were blessed, out of the 10 whose skin, whose condition was restored, one turned back. One's like, I have got to acknowledge what is taking place. I'm in quarantine. I can't even approach the master, but I know who he is. I recognize who he is, and I recognize my low state here. Yeah. This one who turned back, 16 verse, says he fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, this fact that he was Samaritan, I don't think it's just arbitrary information there. I used to think that years ago. And what about it? Okay. So if you remember, sometimes in the scripture, when you're looking, that you'll see that the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans, it was a rather strained relationship. They basically didn't get along. They avoided one another. Case in point, John, the 4th chapter, the woman at the well, she was Samaritan. She was shocked that this Jewish Jesus, this Jewish man, was talking to her. Go check it out. And so when we see this, the history behind that is that there was mixed blood. The Syrians, there was mixed blood. And so they wanted, the Jews wanted to communicate with, let's say, pure Jews, no mixed blood. But this person, there was a Samaritan who would normally have no dealings with the Jews. It didn't matter to him. I'm understanding what you did to me and for me. I'm coming back and I'm going to acknowledge it. I haven't forgotten. Too many times in the life of the child, the adult who claims to be the child of God. Sometimes they are. Sometimes just forget, right? Doesn't make it okay. Doesn't really make it okay or right. We'll forget to be thankful. This Samaritan, the idea behind this is unlikely that he would turn back or even turn to a Jew. Jesus answering said, let me go back to 16 verse, and fell down on his face at his feet. I think I said on his feet. Samaritan. So let's fix it. It's like he prostrated himself. He might have even been clinging to Jesus' feet. Maybe not for the leprosy, but he was cleansed, giving him thanks for, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering or responding says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Sometimes, because it seems that maybe if we forget that God forgets, he does not forget. In other words, he's able to see all things. So you say, well, God is forgiving. He is. But he doesn't want us to presume upon his goodness. I think it's Psalms the 19th chapter, somewhere around the 17th, 18th verse. If it's not the 19th chapter, maybe the 18th verse. David asks God to forgive him of secret faults, and he doesn't want to presume upon God. And we are the creation, and it's not our place. It's not our right. It's such audacity to presume upon God. So think about it. If your life is but a vapor, and he allows you and I to come into this world, then shouldn't we be thankful? We should. Jesus says, "Where are the rest of them?" In other words, they didn't even come back. They're not thankful. Gone about their little business and their affairs. Well, 18, and there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. In other words, he is not a Jew. He's not from Jerusalem. He's from the area of Samaria. And he said unto him, Jesus, that is, in the 19th verse, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. It's your faith in me and who I am and what I'm able to do. Not the priest, but me. Not the priest. Not your own doings. Not some soothsayer around. There were soothsayers around. There were people who would try to divine and heal. Look at the book of Acts. It's around the same time frame. Well, the book of Acts was written about AD 61 AD. Maybe I'm off a few years, but what my point is it's in the same time frame. Give or take a few years, maybe even a decade. The time of Christ, there were soothsayers. There were people who were divine. There were people doing things. Yeah, I said, look at the book of Acts. Jesus took note that this individual was thankful. Here it doesn't say that the rest of them were Jews, but it says Jesus went to a certain village. And it's like, if you look at the 11th verse, it says, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. So it would seem to make sense that the rest of these people were probably Jews. Maybe there's another account in one of the Gospels. I don't remember it right off, but this is what it's the passage that we're looking at tonight. Only one was thankful. Let's go on to another passage of Scripture. I want to turn to Romans, first chapter. Look at the 21st verse. This is a topical message tonight. Just seeing and say, Lord, what can I talk about? So this is where we come up with to talk about on this evening. In the book of Romans, the first chapter, Paul's written a letter. So this is my tie-in. Okay. The tie-in is dealing with my title, Neither Were Thankful. There were nine in the previous passage who were not thankful. The book of Romans, Paul's written this letter to these Romans, and he wants to go see him. He says, I want to be encouraged when we get together. I want to impart some of God's word to you. I want to be encouraged by your faith. You be encouraged in my faith. It's been a while. I want to get to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the message of Jesus Christ. The first few verses, it talks about Jesus Christ, how he's of the seed of David, but the Son of God through the Spirit. Yes. And then he begins to go back in history and talk about those of old who had the knowledge of God and they rejected him. And some believe, and I do too, that he's dealing with those that the Bible will talk about in the book of Genesis when they knew God. But then, like all these nations that knew God, that God created, they just rejected God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these nations, God confounded their tongue. See, in the 10th chapter of Genesis, you see a lot of nations. In the 11th chapter of Genesis, you see that these nations, because they've become wicked, they determined that we'll build this. I almost want to call it an observatory, a temple. This ziggurat, we're going to build this temple. The Bible calls it a tower. But they're going to divine. They're going to seek new information from the stars and the heavenly beings that have rejected God. We're going to do that. We don't need God. Well, Romans 1 is dealing with those nations and different things that they were doing. But I want to look at this 21st verse. Listen at it. Dree, can you read this 21st verse of Romans, please, for us? She says she wants to start at verse 20.
The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
All right. And you could say that I'm really forcing these scriptures together. You might be right, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm okay with that. I am so okay with that. Because there are times when I pray and I'm like, the Bible will show us patterns. According to these scriptures, the people that Paul's referring about or speaking of, he said they knew God. It clearly says that they knew God. They were aware of God. Listen, I'm going back to the verse. Because that when they knew God, I just tried to give sort of a quick little way of thinking about this first chapter because we cut into it. It's dealing with nations, people that God had created, history, or time gone past. It says they basically rejected God. They did not glorify him as God. They did not honor him as God. They didn't reverence him as God. They were not afraid of him. You know what? Even the book of Malachi, God says, where's my honor? Where's my honor? The ox knows his master. And all of these things, he says, where's my honor? I created heaven and earth. Where's my honor? But time passes. Time passes. And God's creation, those who are supposed to have intellect, seem to throw God behind their backs and do their own thing. There were 10 lepers. And they knew. I bet they all wanted Jesus to heal them. They all wanted Jesus to heal them. Back to 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's where my title comes from. They weren't thankful, but they were aware. They were aware. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I'm not going to say that of the lepers, the other 9 lepers, but there is something here. And as there's a pattern, it seems, to be in man. Because we've gone through Judges. We've gone through 1st and 2nd Samuel, or the book of Samuel divided. We've gone through at least what we would say is the first half of the Kings and looked at some of Chronicles. And there are so the people of God that God has blessed. He's blessed to raise up a judge, take down a judge. Raise up a judge, take down a judge. Bring up a king. The king passes away. And the people, after being delivered by God so many times, it's really like by their actions, don't show a thankfulness. Don't show it. How about this word? Indebtedness. Is that right? Did I pronounce it right? Indebtedness and gratitude to God. Now, I didn't go behind what we have as English to see what the word really means, but I think we can get a little bit that I can talk about. Like I said, it was really a few minutes before we got the guys out. This is what I'm going to talk about. Even though these nations and these people, you see that they were wicked, the scripture says they were not even thankful. Are you kidding me? I wake you up in the morning. I let you blink your eyes. I let you use the bathroom. You think it's funny. I don't think it's funny. I am someone who there were times in my life I could not use it. It's not comfortable. It's painful. I know. I knew. I said, I don't know how much longer I got here. Try going for several days and you can't use the bathroom. Try it. You don't want to. Bible says they weren't even thankful. And their foolish heart became darkened. I think there's a little more in that scripture when we think about it. When an individual begins to be without thanks to God, not, oh Lord, what's the word I want to say? Doesn't have God on his or her mind, in his or her heart, to come in communion with God. Bible in Hebrews says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may find help in the time of need. First of all, that's, I think, around the, I don't know if it's the fifth chapter, the beginning of the fifth chapter or the end of the, or the fourth chapter of Hebrews, but I know about where it is. It says, we should be able to come boldly before the throne of God because you need help. And let me say this, we always need his help. We always need his Holy Spirit. And when we are not thankful, there's something wrong. Something wrong. We have forgot to see God. We forgot to see his majesty. We forgot to see his glory. We've forgotten who he is. We've forgotten that he is life. We have forgotten. We have forgotten. We have forgotten. Oh, Israel. That now that I brought you through Egypt and delivered you, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, but there's something that you have to do. You have to keep my commandments. I prescribed things for you to do. Look at Leviticus 26. Deuteronomy chapters 26 through about 29. Read it. He gave them things to do. And contrary to what many will teach, the New Testament prescribes things for us to do. We're going to look at a few more verses. Yes, we are. We're going to look at a few more verses, because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. Doesn't mean you'll carry the Bible in your hand. Doesn't mean you'll put the Bible just on the table. That is not dadgummit what it means. You will hide my words in your heart. Thy word have I coveted to the point that I hid it like a special treasure in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, when the time of need, your Holy Spirit will give me what I've studied, will give me what I've heard from those who rightly divide the word of truth. It is my sustenance, and it is the word of God that I can and shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Now, take it. We try to change God's word. Just like when God gave them manna. Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't remember what it was. I think it's the 16th chapter. I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know, but he gave them manna. He told him how to eat it. He told them how to receive it. And he told those people, he said, there were certain days, I think it was 6 days. And on that seventh day, you don't collect. I think that's what he said. And when they was doing part of what God said. They was observing partially what God said, but then they started saving it during those other days, and then they started picking it up on the seventh day, and they did part of what God said, but they mixed it with their own machinations. Can I say machinations? And then they distorted God's word, and they felt like they was doing what God said, and God let that manna turn to worms. He let that bread, that wafer, he let it turn to worms because they mixed what God said. They weren't thankful for God giving them manna. They started determining how they wanted to do things. They forgot who gave them manna. Neither were thankful. We got 10 lepers. 9 weren't thankful. Got the beginning portion of early history. I said beginning, we'll say early history. Nations who knew God. I said nations who knew God. Yeah, they did. The demons knew about God. So anybody who would go to the demons, they would know about God. They would. I've been reading what scripture says. They did. The Moabites, the Edomites, the Ammonites, the Phoenicians, the Sidonians, the Egyptians. Yes, they knew about God. And first of all, God's people were supposed to be an example of God to them. They knew about God. But we see in Romans here, it says that these individuals, they weren't even thankful. So when an individual knows God and rejects him, they begin to become vain in their own imagination and they're puffed up. Well, those people forget God. God told Israel, when you get to the promised land, even though I bless you, he said, don't you forget about God. And if he said, but if you do, I'm going to deal with you. We're almost through tonight. We'll turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. We'll look at the first 6 verses. I said we're almost through. Maybe I shouldn't have said it. Check here. How does this tie in? We'll look at some people. Paul's writing to these people in Ephesians, and he's giving them to know that if you were a Gentile before, God wanted you to be a part of the family. And before creation, he ordained that his son would come and die. He would live as a man, he would die. And for those who would become a part of the body of Christ and be subservient to his mandates. No, you not accept Christ, but be accept his mandates because of who he is. Because of who he is, that he can save, that he can cleanse a sin-sick soul as he cleansed the lepers. Those who become the servant, if you even were Gentile, and even the people who were supposed to be God's Jews, that you become a part of the family of God. But you have to be built up on the knowledge of the apostles and the prophets. Look at the second chapter in the 17th verse. Don't go there. Now, when he starts this second chapter in the first verse, it's almost, I want us to think of the lepers. The lepers who had the conditions, and the one who was thankful, but the others who, the scripture will give us to know by contrast, they weren't thankful. So let's look at what this says in Ephesians, the second chapter. Dree, would you read this first verse for us?
And you as he quickened, who were dead,
he is,
trespasses and sins.
Read that thing, girl, read it.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience.
Read.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
I want to stress something here. Leprosy is a representation of sin in the Word of God. And when you would do back then, What the Bible said through Moses, you went to the priest. Well, let me tell you something. When we were in Luke, the 17th chapter, they went to the great high priest. They went to the Son of God. They went to the King of Kings. They went to the Lord of Lords. They went to the anointed Messiah. They went to the prophet, ultimate prophet that ever have walked the face of the earth. They went to the ones who could cleanse them and make them whole. Restore them back to the right condition. In this second chapter of Ephesians, he said, and you hath he quickened, and you hath he made alive, and you hath he delivered from a life of sin and damnation, and you hath he restored back to himself. And then it goes on and said the various types of sins that these individuals were living. He come into the knowledge of God. And he's letting them know that they can be a family. And Paul says, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now, a lot of people say, well, we can divorce the mind from the body of just material. You can start getting to the things like the Stoics and the Essenes. This is my mind, so if my body does it, it's okay because they're separate. I don't think so. This is not what the scripture is saying. We're going to look at another verse in a few minutes. He's saying, just like those lepers, comparatively, he healed you. And so it says, even when you were dead in sins, I'm at verse 5, has he quickened us together with Christ. Now, in parentheses, it says, by grace are you saved. And I know what the 8th verse says. Many want to only single out the 8th verse, by grace are you saved. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Romans, I think, is 1:16. It says, the just shall live by faith. Your faith is going to allow you to continue to trust and be obedient in the things that Christ has said. 10th verse, and then we're going to move on to another chapter. Drew, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 15th verse. This is a topical message tonight. It says, in the 10th verse of this Ephesians, it says, you're the workman of God. I'm going to read it right quick. For we are his workmanship. So say, well, you're not saved by works. Well, not saved by works in that you can earn it. But your life and my life is to be a representation of being in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Well, Christ was the Son of God. Are we not supposed to become the sons of God? I think it's John, the first chapter and the 12th verse. It says, and as many as received him, to them gave he the right, or the, am I saying this right? The power or the right to become the sons of God. There's a lot there. Many sons of God. Many sons of God. It's heavenly sons of God. Heavenly spiritual beings that are sons of God. And then we're supposed to be the sons of God. Israel was a representation or a form of the Son of God. I know what he told the Pharaoh. He says, Israel is my firstborn. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are supposed to be a family. And that family is not supposed to be, how can I say, just willy-nilly doing any everything it wants to do. It's the family of God where righteousness is supposed to abound. And we help one another through the Holy Spirit of truth that's found in God's word. That's why he said the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin. Now, do you want to stay in sin? Do you want to remain like the 10 lepers over there? Do you and I want to remain like that? The world will put a band-aid on this thing called Jesus Christ and his power and say, do what you want to and just put a band-aid on it. I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not. But that's not what the Bible says. That is not what the Bible says. So 10th verse says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ unto good works. That's your lifestyle. That's your manner of conduct. That's your manner of thinking. That's what's supposed to be with the life of the Christian, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk, synonymous, that we should live in them. Now you say, well, Gary, I still don't believe what you said. Let's turn then, and topical message, same writer. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, we're going to look at the 15th verse, and we're going to skip to the 19th verse. Just talking about, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, not being unequally yoked. But there's two verses here that I want to emphasize or highlight. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6 chapter 15 verse. I said, neither were thankful. When the individual is not thankful, then he or she might forget. Doesn't mean it's like trying to live in life, but sometimes that's what happens because we're not cognizant. We're not thinking. Let me tell you, when you have a job, often you'll wake up and you're already thinking about what you got to do. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be. When you have children, you know, especially a baby, you're thinking, what do you got to do? We better be taking care of what God wants us to do. Heaven and earth's going to pass away, but guess what? Guess what? His words, his statutes, his principles, his judgment, his rewards for us, it is not going to change. We're going to pass from this life to the next one. We're not going to take anything with us. Is it Job that says that? If it's not Job, somebody said it. You're not going to carry, it might have been Solomon, you're not carrying one thing from this life to the next, except how you live. Oh my goodness. Oh, better learn to be thankful. Better learn to be thankful. What does it say, Dree? 1 Corinthians, let me see what time it is. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter 15 verse. Now, hold up before you read it. I'll go back to this because I want this to, if we can let it try to tie in. Ephesians 2 chapter 6 verse says, with regard to those who were dead in sin, he says, and God basically hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Jew and Gentile alike, who are under the instruction and authority of his Son, Jesus Christ, made us sit together in heavenly places, but where? In Christ Jesus. Now, what does Paul say right here? Don't you know? This is a different letter. He's dealing with the Corinthians church who had, they had lots of gifts, talents, if you will. Some of them were rich, but there was some division among them, and they weren't doing some judges. The sixth chapter talks about, I think it's dealing with how they didn't judge a very severe problem, sin issue in the church with some individual having sex with his stepmother. Paul says, don't you know that you need to be able to judge this? We're going to judge the angels one day. Another topic. But then he goes on. What does it say in this verse right here?
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?
Whoa. Paul says that these earthly bodies, these earthly tabernacles that you have, because of the spirit that is within you when you became born again. He said, what does it say, Adrian? Know ye not that your bodies what?
Are the members of Christ.
It's as if you are Christ walking in the earth. Didn't he tell the disciples his greater works that you do than this? It doesn't mean they're going to go doing more than Christ in the sense that they were all powerful. No. But you'll be able to go to lands that I did not go to, because I go first to the household of Israel. You will carry this message further to the uttermost parts of the world, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? What, Dree? Shall with this so-called liberal theology that I can do what I want to, shall I take what? The members, you, I, all those who come under God's authority, shall I go and take the members of Christ and do what?
And make them the members of
a man or a woman who lives without regard sexually. There are no parameters. I have anybody when I want, how I want, be abused and abused. Shall I do that? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is no. So if you and I are members of Christ, and Paul asked this question, why is it the modern day church asking this question when it says you can do what you want to? Paul says, is this what I'm supposed to do? Neither were dadgum thankful. You think you can do what you want to do. Their hearts became darkened. What does it say? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them like a harlot?
God.
No. The answer is no. Now, if you look at Romans 6, you say, is the grace of God given us for us to do anything? He says, no. What does it say? The 19th verse, Dree.
What?
I'm still in Corinthians 6 chapter now, the 19th verse. What?
Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you?
Your body is to be the indwelling habitation of the Holy Spirit. What? So we had a physical tabernacle in the days before the kings. When Moses came on the scene, God taught him how to build the tabernacle. He gave instructions. Physical tabernacle. Solomon comes on the picture, and he builds a physical tabernacle that was destroyed and rebuilt, and destroyed and rebuilt, and destroyed and rebuilt. Physical tabernacle. And God would have his Ark of the Covenant in there, which was a representation of God's. And then it was destroyed, AD 70. And then comes Jesus. Oh. And he wants to write his laws on the tables of man's heart. You see glimpses of that in Ezekiel. Yes, you do. And he wants to indwell man. They're not going to need this priestly system anymore. I'm the high priest. Oh, and you can come boldly to the throne of grace. But I give you my spirit. I want to indwell you. Lord have mercy. So you stay in my word. Feast on the word. Be thankful for who I am. Come to me. You cannot live any kind of way. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. What did it say? Can you read that verse one more time?
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?
You don't belong to yourself. Don't belong to yourself. So we've tried to develop the fact that we're just certain aspects of being belonging to God, being under the authority of his Son, and being thankful for the things that he's done. Ephesians says, and such were some of you. Do you think that they were not thankful? Now, so we took that and we go on down a little bit in those verses. We see that some people will want to say, well, I can live any kind of way. I'm saved by grace. So we look at some other editions of Paul's writing, and we see that is not true. But still being thankful, and being thankful with that, we'll understand I don't belong to myself. Without you, I deserve death. Now, just to tag on a little bit more of this, we got just a few more verses, not too many. Would you turn to Matthew 18:20? This is a topical. It's been so long since I've done one of these, it almost seems strange. Jesus says, where two or three, you don't even have to read it. This is Matthew 18:20. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So Paul says we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul says that we're the body of Christ. Paul says we can't do whatever we want to, but two or three are gathered together in the midst. He says, I'm in the midst of them. When you come together in fellowship or whatever and seeking the will of Christ and wanting to rejoice in Christ joyfully or pray and maybe in mourning for something, Christ says he's in the midst. But I promise you something. When the individuals of the assembly separate, we're still supposed to be the body of Christ. doesn't mean that's not permission. Well, it's not three of us. It's not two of us. It's not. It's just me. No, you still much more than. But when you come together, bound under the spirit of peace and love of God, not the spirit of peace of the world, it's false. There's Christ that's supposed to be there. I want to end up tonight in Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Another familiar passage of scripture. I used to be able to quote this when I was younger. I think it says, I was about to say, make a joyful noise. Is that it? Okay, because I was like, that ain't right. Make a joyful noise. If you've got it, Drew, you read it, because I'll probably mess it up.
Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
You know, after you read that, used to be this show, come on, called The Dukes of Hazzard. I don't know why I liked it. I guess I was young and silly-minded. But there is one character who goes, good, 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 good. I just feel like, good, good, Lord, good, good, good. Did you hear that? The Lord is good. Lord, have mercy on us. Save us. We're lepers. Lord, I walked as a Gentile, fulfilling the lusts and the desires of my heart. His mercy endures to all generations. Not a license to sin. If you sin, find yourself falling on your face, pleading to God in repentance. I don't want to live like this. Give me strength. Listen, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve him with gladness. Serve him. You are a servant. You're bought with a price. You don't belong to him. Come before his presence with singing, with a joyful heart. Lord, have mercy. Don't you know that the Lord, he is God? He is God. He's all powerful. He's a healer. He's a doctor. He's better than all that. He knows the number of the hairs that's on your head. There's not a sparrow that falls from the sky that he doesn't know about. Take your burdens to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord. Take your woes to the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. What comes out of the heart? What comes out of the heart? It doesn't mean that you're going to walk around with a smile all the time. What's our perspective? There's a heavenly perspective that even though when we're going through some things that press us, getting older, having an infirmity, having children who might not know the Lord, having maybe failed as a parent, having failed God, I don't know what it is. But we look for the restoration of things in heaven, the things in earth, the things under the earth. We look for that final day. Being thankful. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. And the sheep. Subservient sheep of his pasture. Two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The gates, speaking of physical gates, but there's a church that's the real church. It doesn't have brick or mortar. The souls of the people, the spirit of God in the people has made them alive, quickened them. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. There's forgiveness. Well, you didn't seem like you talked about forgiveness. Okay. We have. Did I not? Maybe we feel convicted. If so, righteously, good. I don't purport myself or anybody, but I extol the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. and God in heaven. Enter through his gates with thanksgiving. Don't be without thanks. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. His name is authority and power. So the increase of his government there, I promise you there'll be no end. Not because I said it, because his word said it. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Please deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to open up for discussion if there's going to be any on this evening. Thoughts, questions, insights, other verses. We're open up for discussion. Praise the Lord. I was wondering. Do I need to put my mic toward you?
I don't think so. I don't know if anybody else can tell me if they can hear. Because I'm not speaking in my reading voice, so. One of the things that I thought about, okay, I can hear myself now. One of the things that I thought about in terms of being thankful or not being thankful is that we're demonstrating a sense of entitlement when we're not showing thankfulness to God, if we're not demonstrating thanks. And that is something that I actually, as a human being, have a hard time with. I cannot stand it when people have, or they demonstrate a sense of entitlement. They feel like they're supposed to get whatever they get, and they don't say please, they don't say thank you, they don't seem appreciative when someone goes out of their way to do something for them, you know. And as a human being, I know a lot of people who feel the same way. That when they come across a person that has a sense of entitlement, like they're supposed to get whatever they get, and they don't show any appreciation or thankfulness for the things that they receive, that is bothersome to most people who I know. So just think about how God feels when he does so much for us, when he has brought us out of a life of sin, if he stopped our tongues from lying. I remember there was a deacon in the church where I grew up who would testify, and he said, if the Lord has stopped my tongue from lying, he's done a good thing right there. And that was like a constant part of his testimony. And when I was little, I used to think it was silly. But, you know, as I got older, it's like, if the Lord has delivered you from whatever it is that you were doing that was contrary to his will, you should be thankful, and you should give thanks for that at every opportunity, you know. So going back to that whole thing about the sense of entitlement, you know, as human beings, we feel that way. Just imagine how God must feel, how irritated he must be, or aggravated with the fact that people just feel like he's supposed to wake them up every morning or give them strength in their bodies to do the things that they need to do to go about their daily lives, or give them strength in their body to go and sin against him. You know, it's like people just feel like they're entitled to the gifts that God bestows upon them. And I thought it was really something about those 10 lepers and only one of them giving thanks, and how you brought out that one of them was a Samaritan. And according to those times, a Samaritan was not a member of the household of faith. And seemingly, sometimes people who are not members of the household of faith can recognize that God has done something for them and be more thankful for what God has done than someone who is not a member of the household of faith or part of the household of faith. Like, so God knows what he's done for us. And just like Jesus acknowledged the one leper who came back and gave him thanks, he also acknowledged the nine that didn't give him thanks. So, I mean, God recognizes when we're not being thankful, when we don't have a grateful heart for the things that he's done for us. And he knows when we don't have an attitude of thankfulness. One other thing that I was thinking about when you went to the Psalms, especially when you referred to Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If praise for God is continually in our mouths, and it's sincere praise,
sincere praise is not true in accordance to how God.
Okay. If it's true praise, it's impossible to speak guile if we're truly praising God. So those are just the thoughts that I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else this evening who chooses to speak? I'm not sure if it's fixed where people can say anything. Okay.
There's only one person on right now.
Okay. Anyone else? Thoughts? A thought?
I was good. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I really did. It was especially when you started saying, because I know that feeling, but also just to realize that how ingratitude is just a stench in the nostril of our King. Mm-hmm. And we show our ingratitude by how little we care for his word.
It's true.
You have so many people, they don't care for his word. They might go to church, and usually that's one of the quick signs they're not going to care for the word. It shouldn't be that way, but that's what happens. And we would think that because a person loved God, they would want to know his thoughts. They would want to know his opinions on everything. Man, please. We start out caring about what we think more, and then we start saying, God, jump. Okay, God, I can think, make it happen. Go get it.
Mm-hmm.
What we call being spiritual is when we can make God do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. That's what we call spiritual. But in this message, there's a sense of reverence as opposed to entitlement when the blessed Savior does what he does for us. I was just pleased to hear, and you did it in such a measured way, and I enjoyed it.
Well, you know, like before, because I was reading, and I originally again was going to speak on the Kings, and then I started reading some in Chronicles, and I was like, so I'm looking at, okay, when did these happen? Because I don't want to confuse them, and I didn't see anything yet that kind of led me. I think I know, but I wanted to read some more. So I was like, oh Lord, I said, so I'm not speaking on this. And so I thought, I said, okay, well, Tim's been giving these messages, and we remember we used to practice. It's okay. Take this verse. Take these two verses. Let's look at it for 3 minutes and say something. So I was like, okay, I should be able to do this. We practiced this, and so I was like, all right, Lord, give me something. And so this is what came. And so I'm glad that you helped me practice that. So
yeah, it's imperative that that people have something that they can feed off of, as opposed to keep going to church. You got people that really want to keep going to church, buck dancing, slew footing, and they're not learning the word. And then so they get up there and they become the most biblically opinionated, literate, but the Bible that they have is the Bible of the culture and their thoughts. It's not the Biblios of God. It's not. And I don't appreciate it. I really don't appreciate it. And since I hate it so much, I'm trying to make a solution. I want to be thankful. I owe the Lord.
Me too.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you for your comments. We'll see if there's... Is that it, Dre? Anyone else online that wants to have something to say or ask a question? Okay, Dre says my mic is not good. Is there anyone else this evening? All right. Well, I'm going to count down. And if anyone else wants to say something, the countdown does not mean don't say anything. It's that if anyone's not going to say anything, then I've measured with a few seconds to when I want to close out. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. We thank you
for calling. Off.
Yeah. We thank you for calling in tonight. And Lord willing, we'll connect back up on Thursday night. Tim, is the topic a continuation of what we were doing on Saturday?
Yes, we should still be dealing with the dead, death, and dying.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I'm ready. All right. Love you all. Good night, everyone.
Love you all. Good night.